you seek the orb that ought be on his tomb. Each of the carved knights within the temple church lay on his back with his head resting on a rectangular stone pillow. Sophie advanced with Langdon and Teabing toward the first group of knights on the left. Despite Teabing's insistence that their investigation should be conducted meticulously, Sophie felt eager and pushed ahead of them, making a cursory walkthrough of the five knights on the left. Scrutinizing these first tombs, Sophie saw no hint anywhere of a conspicuously absent orb. When Sophie arrived at the second group of knights, she found that this second group was similar to the first. All lay with varied body positions, wearing armor and swords. That was, all except the tenth and final tomb. Hurrying over to it, she stared down.
No pillow? No armor? No tunic? No sword?
Robert? Lee?
She called, her voice echoing around the chamber.
There's something missing over here.
Both men looked up.
An orb? Teabing called excitedly. Are we missing an orb?
Not exactly, Sophie said, frowning at the tenth tomb. We seem to be missing an entire knight.
Langdon and Teabing turned, immediately hurrying over. Arriving beside her, they gazed down in obvious confusion at the tenth tomb. Rather than a knight lying in the open air, this tomb was a sealed stone casket. Why isn't this knight shown? Langdon asked.
Fascinating, Teabing said, stroking his chin. I had forgotten about this oddity. It's been years since I was here.
This coffin, Sophie said, looks like it was carved at the same time and by the same sculptor as the other nine tombs. So why is this knight in a casket rather than in the open?
Hello, the altar boy said, as he came up behind them, his vacuum trailing. Forgive me if this seems rude, but for your information, these are not tombs.
I'm sorry, Langdon said.
Of course they're tombs, Teabing declared. What are you talking about?
The altar boy shook his head.
Tombs contain bodies. These are effigies, stone tributes to real men. There are no bodies beneath these figures.
This is a crypt, Teabing said.
Only in outdated history books. This was believed to be a crypt, but was revealed as nothing of the sort during the 1950 renovation.
An uneasy silence fell, but it was broken by the sound of a door slamming.
I shall go see who that is,
the altar boy said as he left them.
Lee?
Langdon whispered.
No bodies? What is he talking about?
Teabing looked distraught. I don't know. I always thought,
certainly this must be the place. I can't imagine he knows what he's talking about. It makes no sense.
Can I see the poem again? Langdon said. Sophie pulled the cryptext from her pocket and carefully handed it to him. Langdon unwrapped the vellum, holding the cryptex in his hand while he examined the poem. Yes. The poem definitely references a tomb, not an effigy. At the doorway, the altar boy saw a thin man in a tuxedo scratching his head and looking lost.
Hello, the boy called.
A flurry of cloth ruffled behind him, and before the altar boy could turn, his head snapped backward, a powerful hand clamping hard over his mouth from behind, muffling his scream and yanking him backward. The prim man in the tuxedo calmly produced a very small revolver, which he aimed directly at the boy's forehead.
Listen carefully, the tuxedoed man whispered. You will exit this church silently, and you will run. You will not stop. Is that clear?
The boy nodded as best he could, with the hand over his mouth.
If you call the police, the tuxedoed man pressed the gun to his skin, I will find you.
The next thing the boy knew, he was sprinting across the outside courtyard with no plans of stopping until his legs gave out. Like a ghost, Silas drifted silently behind his target. Sophie Neveu sensed him too late. Before she could turn, Silas pressed the gun barrel into her spine and wrapped a powerful arm across her chest, pulling her back against his hulking body. She yelled in surprise. Teabing and Langdon both turned now, their expressions astonished and fearful.
What?
Teabing choked out.
What did you do to Remy?
Your only concern, Silas said calmly, is that I leave here with the keystone.
This recovery mission, as Remy had described it, was to be clean and simple.
Enter the church, take the keystone, and walk out. No killing, no struggle.
Where is it?
It's over here. Langdon's deep voice resonated from across the room. Silas turned to see Langdon holding the black cryptex before him,
waving it back and forth.
Set it down, Silas demanded.
Let Sophie and Lee leave the church, Langdon replied. Silas pushed Sophie away from him and aimed the gun at Langdon, moving toward him. Not a step closer, Langdon said. Not until they leave the building.
You are in no position to make demands.
I disagree. Langdon raised the cryptex high over his head. I will not hesitate to smash this on the floor and break the vial inside. Although Silas sneered outwardly at the threat, he felt a flash of fear. This was unexpected.
You would never break the keystone. You want to find the Grail as much as I do.
You're wrong. You want it much more. You've proven you're willing to kill for it. 40 feet away, peering out from the annex pews near the archway, Remy Legaludec felt a rising alarm. The maneuver had not gone as planned, and even from here, he could see Silas was uncertain how to handle the situation. Let them go, Langdon again demanded, holding the cryptex high over his head and staring into Silas's gun. The monk's red eyes filled with anger and frustration, and Remy tightened with fear that Silas might actually shoot Langdon while he was holding the cryptex.
The cryptex cannot fall.
The cryptex was to be Remy's ticket to freedom and wealth. A little over a year ago, he was simply a 55-year-old manservant living within the walls of Chateau Villette. Then he was approached with an extraordinary proposition.
I am so close,
Remy told himself, gazing into the sanctuary of Temple Church and the keystone in Robert Langdon's hand. If Langdon dropped it, all would be lost.
Am I willing to show my face?
It was something the teacher had strictly forbidden. Remy was the only one who knew the teacher's identity.
Are you certain you want Silas to carry out this task?
Remy had asked the teacher less than half an hour ago, upon getting orders to steal the keystone.
I myself am capable.
The teacher was resolute.
Silas served us well with the 4 priory members. He will recover the keystone. You must remain anonymous. Do not reveal your face.
Understood, Remy said. I will assist Silas from the shadows.
For your own knowledge, Remy, the tomb in question is not in Temple Church, so have no fear. They are looking in the wrong place.
Remy was stunned.
And you know where the tomb is?
Of course. Later I will tell you. For the moment, you must act quickly. If the others figure out the true location of the tomb and leave the church before you take the cryptex, we could lose the Grail forever.
Remy didn't give a damn about the Grail, except that the teacher refused to pay him until it was found. Remy felt giddy every time he thought of the money he would soon have.
1/3 of 20 million euro. Plenty to disappear forever.
Remy had pictured the beach town of Toulon, where he planned to live out his days basking in the sun and letting others serve him for a change.